Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome to Connecting the Dots with Dan Happel. And today we're going to have a trip back in time with the first president of the United States, President George Washington. And we're going to be talking about what the original intent of the Constitution and the framers' actions was all about, what they were trying to do to give us the freedom and the liberty that would withstand the test of time. We've seen a tremendous change in our country in the last, especially probably 30 years, and we are losing many of the freedoms that were put in place by our founding fathers. We're going to be talking with my good friend, Pastor Mark Collins, who is a pastor at a Baptist church in Texas. He is George Washington. Please join us on the other side of the break.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com. The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots, and today we're going to be talking with General George Washington, our first president, and the gentleman who was responsible for the success of winning the Revolutionary War against the British Crown. And today we're going to be talking about the original intent and what the founders really envisioned for this country, and why we have strayed so far off track. Our guest today, George Washington, is actually Pastor Mark Collins. He is a Baptist minister from Yorktown, Texas, of all places. And Pastor Collins has been selected numerous times to play the part of George Washington. He actually had a face, I guess they call it a face cast, made of him, and it was virtually identical to General George Washington at the same age. And it's amazing, because with the exception of wonderful 20th century dental hygiene, Mark is a spitting image of George Washington. And he has played the part of George Washington in a History Channel 13-part documentary on the Revolution. He has also played the part of George Washington in a movie called Revelation, The Dawn of Global Government. And he has also done another movie recently called No Place to Run, or no, I'm sorry, No Time to Run. And he played George Washington in that film as well. You will forget that you are in the 20th century. And when you hear Mark talk, he does such an incredible job that, believe me, you'll think you went back in time. Mark, I'm going to refer to you from here on out as General Washington. We look forward to hearing from you. You are concerned, you are alarmed. Let's say that you're moving back and came back in time to talk to the American people about what is happening today and why you are concerned for the future of our nation. General Washington, thank you for joining us today.
The Honorable Mr. Happel, it is an honor truly to join you today. Thank you and God bless.
Well, General, you've talked about the original intent and why God was part of our constitutional construct, because natural law and unalienable rights are something that can be tied directly in with the Ten Commandments and biblical teaching. And this is really a Protestant ethic that came into play during the penning of the Constitution and Bill of Rights. Talk a little bit about how the original intent was framed and why it was so important to recognize that government came from the individuals.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, thank you for the opportunity. Couldn't say it better than my vice president and your second president, John Adams, when he said the Constitution, and it's not based on the laws of man, but the laws of Sinai, meaning the Ten Commandments, as you have mentioned. But that is the foundation of this nation. And in the preamble of the birth announcement for America, I believe you call it the Declaration of Independence, it states that very clearly, that there is a higher power than any government, the laws of nature and nature's God. Now, I've actually heard our students are being taught that that's Mother Nature or some foolishness such as this. If you go back and read Blackstone, who wrote the legal commentary that all of we, the founding fathers, cut our legal teeth on, Blackstone said the law of nature is that which God instills in man for self-preservation. And that is the foundation that this nation was founded on. And so that is why all communist countries, many, if you will, socialist countries, which is their evil cousins, they have to get rid of that higher power. They have to be the ultimate authority over all life, all laws. They have to be, in fact, it's now global, as you have updated me, that their intention is to not only just take over America, but the entire world and control every aspect of a person's life. And that is God's authority and his domain and not for man. And that's what we, the founding fathers, tried to instill. As you know, I couldn't say it more simply than when I made the statement that it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. And so I hope that's a good beginning. What other questions might you have or thoughts?
Well, Mr. President, one of the things that we hold so dear in the United States is the right of the individual, personal sovereignty, the right to control our own body, our own thoughts, our own deeds, and that there goes with that a sense of personal responsibility. Tell us what you see happening today in this country that goes so far away from that idea of the individual being the sovereign in their own lives.
You know, in the very beginning of this nation, in fact, before we were birthed as a nation, as those separatists, I believe you call them the pilgrims, came, the very first experiment in this nation in socialism took place on those hallowed grounds at Plymouth Rock. You see, they said they were going to create common garden, and everybody would work and everybody would reap the rewards of that garden. Well, they soon saw that, you know, some were lazy and would make every excuse in the world not to do their part. But when others saw that, they became discouraged. They thought, why should I work? And many of them, unfortunately, starved to death that first winter. And so they jettisoned that thought and said, look, each individual will be responsible for their own sustenance. And it was incredible to see the birthing of this nation out of that foundation of industry and self-preservation and self-growth, that if it's going to be, it's up to me. And that was the American idea that was birthed there in those early days. And it has continued this in this nation in incredible ways and exponentially blessed the world as the greatest nation in the world as far as treating disease, combating every aspect of health, and even putting a man on the moon, I understand. What a fascinating concept. I would have never dreamed that that could happen. But all of that happened out of the thought that it is the individual that that is the center of God's desire for us. We are responsible for ourselves. We are also responsible for our brothers, but that cannot be forced. It has to come out of the moral foundation that only comes from a belief in a higher power. And we believe that higher power is God Almighty, as described in the Bible in his son, Jesus Christ. And that's the foundation that this nation was founded on. And that is the only foundation that we will find success again. You know, in Jeremiah, it says, go back to the old paths in which you found success, and you will find peace for your souls. And I believe that is true today as it was when it was written over 2,000 years ago.
Well, I think that a lot of people are losing the idea, the connection, that individuals are the ones that have to make decisions, and that if we are going to have a collective good, we've got to have individuals who are good that make up that group. And we have to have personal responsibility, one person at a time. That's how good things happen. It's like standing back from 30,000 feet and looking at a forest. If you look at a forest, a healthy forest has a lot of healthy trees. It's all those healthy trees that make that forest, not the other way around. And so we have that concept. We need to really amplify that, don't we?
Absolutely. And as you see the, for example, you see the wheels coming off of the military machine, as you have updated me on this conflict between, I believe it's called Ukraine and Russia. And the Russian machine, it was a collective. And as they're seeing that where there was supposed to be armament on some of these tanks, for example, they find cardboard or insulation where there were supposed to be ceramic armament plates. And it was because there was no desire. They were to meet a goal and siphon off the finances of that goal. And there was no individual responsibility to be had in all of that. And that's a very dangerous, slippery slope. And I hope America can turn the tide and go back to those old paths in which we found success, because it's a very dangerous thing when we lose the individual to the collective, because then individuals are just expendable, if you will. For example, in a healthcare system where it is capital based, you are a customer. But where it is based on, hey, we're going to provide medical treatment for all. And so every time a person comes in, they're a parasite on the system. And it totally changes the way medicine is done. And I believe we're beginning to feel that and see that in America. It's not about the individual patient. I'm sorry, because of your age or social status, you're not available for that treatment. And that's coming to America as we speak. We're already seeing it. And that is a dangerous place as we lose the individual again.
Well, you mentioned healthcare, Mr. President, and we've just recently gone through something, and it was an engineered disease called COVID-19. It came from, of all places, Communist China, a bio lab. I know that's a fairly unknown term to you, but a laboratory in China that was actually manufacturing this, and for lack of a better term, they call it a virus, but I don't believe it is. But the long story short, it more or less shut down the whole world and created things like isolation of people and no-go zones called expendable or non-essential businesses. They shut down businesses, they shut down society, they shut down schools, and they lock people in their homes. And this is all part of a program that's supposedly there to benefit us, but that couldn't possibly be because it takes away our rights for personal responsibility. Talk a little bit about, I believe I kind of described the process to you earlier about what happened with all these shutdowns and how they are so opposite what good government and really the United States of America is all about.
You know, I can only guess that it pulled back the curtain and you found many, many tyrants amongst the people in the nation that felt like they had the authority and the ability to circumvent all that we gave you as protections to insulate the people of this nation from such treatment. You know, the 10th Amendment, enumerated powers, these are the only powers that the Constitution gives the federal government. All other powers belong to who? The people and the states. And I believe we have forgotten that if the people don't reclaim the rights that they own, then this nation will be lost. I actually warned Dan, do not allow anyone to ignore the Constitution. If they don't like what it says, make them change it. And so we put enough structure in that would be very difficult to do any damage if they will follow the Constitution. And I'm afraid that they're not doing that any longer. In fact, Jefferson said it best. He said that Constitution is there to chain men down from mischief. And I believe there is much mischief afoot in what you have described around this affliction that was perpetrated on the world and on many nations and all the little tyrants from mayors and state legislatures and governors and presidents and beyond. And their different minions began to restrict the freedoms that we guaranteed you through that precious document, the oldest living constitution in the world. Don't allow them to ignore it.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that document, sir, because right now there's a movement afoot, very dangerous movement afoot, to call a constitutional convention. And that constitutional convention threatens the very constitution that we have with the thought that it could be actually an open convention that would allow for basically a whole new set of rules and a whole new constitution. Is that something that when the founders, when you and your brothers in the founding fathers put together the whole process of the Constitution, you put in that an amendment process that was supposed to allow things to be changed over time, but do it very thoughtfully and one item at a time. Maybe explain why that single amendment process is so important and some of the downside of having an open constitutional convention.
You know, the greatest example is the only example that we have of a convention of the states. And that is when we, the founding fathers, sent delegates from all of the colonies to make adjustments to the Articles of Confederation, which was the constitution under which this nation was. And remember, we were only brought together to make a few adjustments to it. And during that convention, we decided to completely set it aside and write a new document. That's not what we were commissioned for. And that's why the Federalist Papers were written, to convince the very leery states that this was a good thing. And I believe that it was ordained by God, because there was very moral and intelligent, some of the greatest minds in the world I could see how were brought together to write that Constitution. And it has sustained this nation in incredible ways for all of this time. Now, if we were to do that again, for example, they keep talking about that we need to make these adjustments to the Constitution. And someone put it in a story that I thought was a beautiful illustration of the danger that we're working with and the foolishness that we're looking at doing something like this, a very radical move, instead of just making adjustments, like you said, through the amendment process. And this gentleman had a safe that he'd spent much finances on. And after a few weeks, he came home and his safe was completely empty, and there was a window open, and burglars had come into his house and stole everything valuable that he had in his safe. He was very upset, and he called the safe manufacturer and said, "I want you to get this safe out of my house, and I want the best safe you've got, because this one is not working." And so he came and he tested it numerous times. It locked perfectly. Everything worked as it was supposed to. And he had a thought, and he turned to the gentleman that had owned the safe that had been robbed, and he said, "Sir, did you have your safe locked when this happened?" And the gentleman's face turned bright red, and he said, "No, I forgot to lock the door." And so, Dan, we don't need to replace the safe. We don't even need to make adjustments to it. We just need to use the safeguards that the founding fathers gave you, and that is the Constitution. Don't allow men to ignore it. Let them be chained down by that Constitution from mischief, which was its intent, and it has been totally ignored. I understand from some of the updates that many constitutional, as they observe the laws that are coming out of our Capitol, that they estimate 65% of the laws that are passed are unconstitutional. You allowed these rogues, these tyrants, to throw off the chains that the Constitution was intended to put on them. And until you gather that back, your safe will never work if you don't lock the door.
That's certainly true. And we see that on our borders as well. It's interesting. I had a discussion with a gentleman I met at dinner in the place that we're living now, and we had a kind of a community get together, and a gentleman that I was talking to, he said, good neighbors don't have fences. Well, that's actually taken completely out of context, but he was talking about getting rid of the fence along the border, and I said, no, I think the statement that you meant to make is good neighbors have good fences, because then they remain good neighbors. And he said, no, we should open our borders to anyone. And I said, well, how about this? You're here 6 months out of the year, you're gone 6 months out of the year. How would you like, what would you think about taking your front door off of your place here and taking the windows out of your house and leaving for 6 months and trusting for everybody to respect your rights? That's a pretty good example, and that's what's happening in our southern border, isn't it?
Absolutely right. Being a gentleman farmer, I am familiar with the thought that good fences make good neighbors. And in other words, you know, we keep out the things that we want, and we keep in the things that we want. And you take care of your individual rights, and we'll take care of ours. And that makes good neighbors. You know, we the founding father said a nation without borders is no nation at all. We lose our sovereignty. We lose the individuality of the uniqueness of America. We are a melting pot. And those that come through the right channels, of course, We can't take millions and millions, as apparently as they're coming across, without any regulation, without any thought of what do they bring to this nation, whether it be a disease or some gifting. The other aspect of that that I never hear anybody talking about is, you know, all of the George Washingtons and Thomas Jeffersons and Benjamin Franklins from these other nations, we are creating a brain drain. So who's going to come to America? Those that have the drive and the intelligence and a desire for freedom. And so they're losing all of the giftedness in their own nations. And that's wrong for America to allow to happen. We need to train them up in the principles that have made America a great nation so they can take that back to their land and create the same thing. When we've tried that in with gentleness and without authoritarianism, we have had success. In fact, you look at the prosperity around the world, and honestly, a lot of that is due to the fact that they look at America and they try to emulate what we are doing.
Mr. President, we need to go to break right now, but let's pick that thought up on the other side.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Many watching Brighteon TV will remember the fiery speech from Dr. Alan Keyes at the annual State Republican Dinner that ended in repeated standing ovations. Dr. Keyes has been an articulate and passionate spokesman for faith, convictions, and consistently strong enough to resist the tug of political convenience. Alan pierces through the ethical haze of our time and calls us to stand up for the truth, knowing that you cannot have the right to do wrong. Get your download of Our Character, Our Future, an audiobook by Dr. Alan Keyes, exclusive to the Brighteon TV audience. Dr. Alan Keyes personally read and recorded our exclusive audiobook version of his timeless essays in Our Character, Our Future for this very special promotion. You can order it by going to www.imtv.us and click on Special Offer. It's available at only $19.95 for a very limited time. You'll not only enjoy a tremendous savings, but you'll get an amazing piece of literature read by Dr. Alan Keyes himself. Get yours today. Go to www.imtv.us and get this Brighteon TV exclusive offer.
Welcome back to Connecting the Dots. And today we are talking with General George Washington. Before the break, he was explaining why good fences make good neighbors, and mentioning the fact that so many of the good people that come into this country are people who want to learn from us and then go back to their own countries and take that good information that they glean from us. We also have a problem, Mr. President, that we have now a tremendous movement of trafficking of people and drugs and things like this across our borders. And we need to make sure that the people who do come here really truly believe in the American dream and want to be part of that and want to assimilate into that and want to learn our history and be part of the culture that created this great nation. You mentioned to me how important history really is for this country. Please, maybe elaborate a little bit on that idea, because we are losing our history, and with that, we're losing our culture.
Absolutely. You know, even if you go back to scripture, It tells you to train up the children in the great things that the Lord has done so that they will remember who God is, for example. And we need to realize who we are as a nation. I was very much appalled to see statues of many, though, that founded this nation laying in the dirt, including my own, I must add. And I was quite shocked. In fact, in some of the states, I believe on the left coast of America, I believe it's called California, they're trying to take history out of the curriculum so they have more time to do social restructuring. And that our history doesn't matter. In fact, it's so dark, it shouldn't be taught anyway. And that is so far from the truth. A nation that doesn't remember its history is likely to make the same mistakes again. For example, some of the things that, if I understand correctly, Dan, you said that some time ago, the government banned the importation of assault rifles. Well, that year was 1775. When the British banned the importation of what they called an assault rifle. I believe it's called a Brown Bess, actually. There is no such thing as a rifle that has ever assaulted anyone. And I'm quite confused by that, even that term. But so that was a situation back then. And then, of course, the shot heard around the world took place at Lexington. If you recall, those Patriots were standing there in the Lexington Green to stop the Redcoats. They wasn't the British that were coming. We were all British. But the Redcoats were coming down the road, but they weren't coming to Lexington. In fact, they said, "You Yanks, get out of the road. Our quarrel is not with you." They were heading to Concord. And they said, "Stand your ground, men. If war's to start, let it start here with us." And of course, a volley was heard. Of course, the British blamed the Patriots, and the Patriots blamed the British. On both sides, they did agree that it was a pistol round that was heard first. And I must say, the only pistols on the Lexington Green that day were in the hands of the British officers. So we'll leave that to the fog of war. But have you ever considered, Dan, why were the British or the Redcoats going to conquer? They were going to confiscate the arms and ammunition and gunpowder that was being stored there. So the conflict, the igniter of our great revolution that gave us our freedoms, was gun control. And so we must know our history, or we are likely to repeat it. And then you told me, I believe in September of 01, there was a fiery explosion and many American patriots lost their life to Islamic terrorists. I believe a new president had just taken office at that time. That president was Thomas Jefferson, and the year was 1801 when the USS Intrepid blew up in the harbor of Tripoli in an attempt to break up the monopoly that controlled the seas as Islamic terrorists terrorized our commerce on the high seas. And our young nation was in its very first war. Was it the War of 1812? It was That's the war sure. terrorists. We must know and remember our history, or we are likely to repeat it. And I believe I'm seeing that as we speak.
Mm-hmm. I think you very definitely identify that. And we've got something now going on called critical race theory. And it's a statement that all of our founding fathers were a bunch of rich old white guys that were promoting the enslavement of other people, of people of color. And I know for a fact that many of the patriots that fought in the Revolutionary War, that there were black free men who fought in the Revolutionary War. Our country was not founded on slavery. It was founded on free men. I want you to please talk about how the issue of slavery was even tolerated because it was so important to bring the 13 states together.
Very, very good question. You know, if you go back to the very history of it, when the Separatists and the Puritans came, they forbade permanent slavery. You could only through indentured servitude come to the America. There had to be an end to your servanthood until there was one Anthony Johnson, and Oscar Kaiser, unfortunately, signed some papers that were worded not quite right. And so when the 7-year period of his indentured servitude was over and he requested his freedom from Anthony Johnson, Anthony Johnson said, no, I own you permanently. Now, what was interesting is Anthony Johnson had came as an indentured servant to America, worked out his time, and through industry and working hard, he had built quite an empire for himself. And so he took to court his right to keep Oscar Kaiser as a permanent slave. And so unfortunately, because of the way the contract was worded, they allowed slavery to begin in America. If you go back and look at the portraits of Anthony Johnson, he was of African descent. The man that started slavery in America had a very dark pigmentation to his skin color. And so I find that quite interesting that we say it's totally based on race when it was very illegal for a very long time and it was introduced. And of course, there was other horrific laws, and then it became, if a slave has a child, then that child is also just as cattle would be. And that was very unfortunate. And I'm ashamed to say that I did own slave, but I grew up in a time and a place where that was just accepted. But Gouverneur Morris, during the Revolution, as Martha and I would winter quarter at his beautiful home in Morristown, he would have lavish parties, and he would bring all of his abolitionist friends, and we would discuss slavery. And by the end of the war, I said publicly that slavery is an abomination that will lead to civil war if it's not purged from our nation. And I believe, as you have said, that that did come true. And so I spoke out against slavery, but because we were trying to bring those 13 independent states together for this limited federal government, we decided we would set that aside. But it's very interesting. You have described computers to me, and you know that a computer can get a virus. And it doesn't seem like something at first, but it can replicate itself until it takes over the whole system and crashes it. And in our Declaration of Independence, we put in there that all men were created equal. Dan, I'm ashamed to say that we ignored that for over 75 years until finally we purged slavery from this nation. But consider the fact that slavery had been around the world for 10,000 years, 6,000 years, as however old man is. That's a mystery. We don't know the exact date. But slavery has been around since the beginning of time. And I think it pretty impressive that it only took us 75 years as a young nation to address that at the cost of many lives and purge it from our nation. And from there, you see free men of every color being able to prosper. I was so encouraged, and it really made me reflect on what a gift America is. As a I was traveling to the African continent in Kenya, and I had the privilege of having my passport stolen. So I had to go to the American embassy, and there was a line that was probably a quarter of a mile long, too wide, going out down the sidewalk from the embassy building out and around the block into the city. And I asked, what is that line? And that's people trying to get a visa just to come to the United States, on the off chance that they might could stay. And it made me realize that, you know, here's these African Kenyans that are willing to stand in line for days, literally, to try to get the opportunity that we have being naturally born into this nation. This nation is a blessing. And yes, we've had a dark past, as is the world. And what I understand now, there are actually more slaves in the world today than there were during the our colonial period of America. So I will ask those that are as abhorred by slavery as we were, what are you doing about it? Slaves, mm-hmm. At any time in the history of the world right now, what are you doing?
Isn't that amazing? We have something called human trafficking going on worldwide where women and young children are being basically sold into slavery and servitude. And it's even worse than that because it's sexual slavery on top of everything else. And people are trying to ignore that. We have slipped so far down the wrong slope with this this craziness that we're pushing. Why would you think that we have all these people right now who are almost like they're trying to create diversity and animosity between different races, between different groups, between different religions? There's a wholesale effort to try to make people hate one another. What do you think that's all about?
Yeah, divide and conquer. That's Satan's plan, is to separate us from each other, to separate us from Almighty God and the fellowship that he designed for us both vertically and horizontally with our fellow man. We're to love them, you know, and they're the great example of America. What other nation in the history of the world, as they have crushed and defeated their enemies, go back, Dan, and rebuild that nation and give it back to its people and say, now play nice. That's never happened in the history of the world until the United States of America. And why is that? It's that Judeo-Christian ethic that was ingrained in us and is a granite part of the foundation of this nation, that all men are created equal. And that's what it says in the birth announcement of this nation. It took us 75 years, and it took that virus, if you will. It was there. People had to read that every time they read the Declaration, until finally we began to recognize that all men are created equal. And what a blessing it is to see how far we had come. In the last decade, we have seen a recession, if you will, of the advances that we had made in that area. And I hope we can get away from this communistic thought of divide the people, rich, poor, man, woman, on race, on language. They want to divide us, and God wants to unite us. He created one race, the human race, and that's what we are as Americans and as human beings. And if we'll go back to that, this nation and this world will be greatly blessed.
That's so well said. And you mentioned how important history is. And they are, as we speak, they're trying to rewrite history. We see things like the 1619 Project that really are not a bit historically accurate. But if we destroy our history, we will be at the same time destroying all the lessons that we should have learned to make us not repeat the same mistakes. You said that early. Please maybe elucidate a little bit on that and talk about how important our real history is and why we need to preserve it.
Absolutely. You know, like I say, we need to learn from our mistakes, and America has made plenty of mistakes. But Dan, we can't be making such horrible mistakes if literally millions of people are willing to risk their lives, their very life, to come and have what you and I enjoy as Americans. We need to sit back and say, you know, why is it that the world wants to come to this melting pot? And it's because of those foundations that were given to us. And if we purge that, if we purge our history, then we're going to be just like every other nation that has fallen and continues to fall, and its people suffer. When the godly lead, the people rejoice. When the ungodly lead, the people moan. And Dan, I hear a lot of moaning in our nation today, and I believe it's going to get exponentially worse unless we repent. If you know scripturally, the word repent means simply to turn back to those old ways in which we found success. And our souls will find rest. And that's what we need to be teaching, is what is it about America that has been successful? What is it about America that has advanced technology exponentially? There's a wonderful book written called The 5,000-Year Leap. And it talks about how you can measure the advancement in technologies. And it's a slow, methodical process until about mid-1800s when the Industrial Revolution started. And, you know, the patent laws and people could gain the rewards, reap the rewards of their efforts to develop something. And they said technology went from, you know, the wheel and the rudimentary wagon to putting a man on the moon in about 100 years. That's pretty incredible. And that book is called The 5,000-Year Leap. And it was the United States of America that created that, where technology, this incremental, slow process, advanced, accelerated 5,000 years in a mere 100 years. And quite fascinating read, and I believe it's true. And so we can't just begin to tear down our history and destroy it in the minds of our children where they have no hope.
I agree. And one of the things about having the freedom and the free choice under a free market system that allows the accumulation of capital, the accumulation of resources to the individual, is the, I guess, the common ground that says that raising the boat or raising the water lifts all people. And that's really true. If we try to take away the ability for individuals to have free ideas and work for their own best interests, we take that away and we try to create a, let's say, a common, and I hate to say it, but it's true, a common lack of wealth and lack of resources, a common redistribution of wealth, for lack of a better term. When we do that, we create a lot more problems than we do solutions. The solutions are really in giving everyone the right to improve their own lot. Tell us what the founders thought about that.
You know, it is very interesting, and it's appalling to see how we've even dumbed down our academics in this nation to where that, well, we don't want anybody to fail, and so we'll just slide the scale back to where everybody's making an A, but then they get out of high school and they don't have the ability to write their own name. And so, you know, what is creating that? It's this socialistic process that is so dangerous that it's not the outcome that is equality. It's the opportunity that is equality, that all people, you have the opportunity to work hard and to get ahead. And, you know, you read the amazing stories of people that had to file for bankruptcy, you know, numerous times before they kept trying and kept trying, and then they found success. And as soon as they find success, then they're told, well, you didn't do that and you don't deserve to reap the rewards of your efforts. We need to redistribute that. And that is such a sad situation, and it will be devastating to any nation that does it. And it's been proven over and over and over again. And it's so fascinating when you see these young people that have been indoctrinated into socialistic ideas. And they say, give me one example where it's worked. And their pat answer is, well, it just hasn't been done right. We need to try it one more time and we will do it right. And it will work. And it cannot work. We need to study. You know, it's great. Great thought, and I shared this. One of the greatest undertakings that we can do is to teach our youth the science of government. Do you ever consider, these days, we don't consider government to be a science. Just like in a scientific experiment, if I mix these two chemicals, these two compounds, I know what the result is going to be. If I instill this type of government, I know what the result's going to be. And that's unchangeable. And yet we keep promoting devastating thought when it comes to government. And we have a system that can be proven for over 200 years to make the most prosperous, blessed nation in the world.
Well, Mr. President, we are down to our last 30 seconds. I would love to give you this opportunity to just passing thought on what we need to do as a nation to get back to what made this America so great.
You know, I once said that we should not expect the smiles of heaven if we forget the precepts that are found in God's word that tells us how to live our lives, how to love one another, and how to seek to serve and to take care of our own. Man that does not work shall not eat. That's a harsh thing, but when we live by those rules, it was quite a blessing. You know, I had two corn cribs. In fact, you can go today, and they have been rebuilt. And the first one to be filled was on the left. And then the right one was to be filled. The left one was for those that were infirm, for widows and orphans, and those that could not sustain themselves due to circumstances outside of their control. And so we filled that one first. And when I was during the fighting during the Revolution, and I had put Mount Vernon under the control of my nephew, I encouraged him, don't encourage slothfulness. Be very careful how you distribute that so that we don't encourage slothfulness, but that we do take care of those that are truly in need. And that is, there again, the principles that God has taught us. And if we don't return to those foundations, we will fail as a nation.
Well, very good advice, Mr. President. I want to thank you for being our guest today. And again, Pastor Mark Collins has been involved in a production of The Revolution on the History Channel. Please go to that. And also to look at Revelation, The Dawn of Global Government, and also No Time to Run. You do a marvelous job. Pastor, thank you so much, Mr. President. And I want to thank our listeners and our viewers. And please join us again next Tuesday for Connecting the Dots.